Would you welcome Pastor Bert Moore as he comes and shares on the cup of deliverance? Love you, Bert.
Love you, too.
Good morning. Give me just a few seconds to get set up here. I love the opportunity to come and to share God's word, and what an appropriate cup I get to talk about this morning. The cup I'm going to be talking about is the cup of deliverance. Deliverance has been I'm 54 years old, and it's been many years in the making of God continuing to pull the layer after layer of the old onion off of me so that he can get down and really work with the core of who I am. And a lot of that's because I'm hard-headed. Back where I come from, they call us knotheads or boneheads, and those can be terms of endearment where I come from because they're hard. You gotta beat things into them. And so we don't take offense if someone calls me a bonehead. A few of you around here flinch a little bit when I call you a bonehead, but I smile when I do it, so that softens it a little bit. So it's all good. So now I'm working with Pastor Jeff's technology, and so if I mess it up, I apologize now, but I'm going to do my best because it's pretty cool. Me standing in front of good technology is awesome. So we're going to be talking about the four cups as Pastor's been going through them, and I'm very excited to do it. Think with me for a moment of you or a family that has been imprisoned your whole life. You, the generation before you, your children that you've had in the prison, you're all part of this generation that has grown up knowing nothing but someone telling you what to do. Chains, shackles. You're at every bidding of those that are holding you captive. So let that sink in a minute. A lot of us wouldn't know what that's all about. We live in a free country. We come and do what we want. And when someone tells us otherwise, we rise up and tell them differently. We push back. But just imagine a society where you could not do that, and you're locked in. And then imagine that you were set free. Imagine that the gates were flung wide open. Those that were holding you captive have flown the coop. They're gone. They're nowhere to be found, and you are set free. And that's a great feeling. There's freedom in the wind. You're celebrating. You're eating what you want. You get up when you want. You go to bed when you want. I mean, you're daydreaming about how your days are going to go. But in all reality, when the rubber meets the road, you're lost because you've never had a day where you got up and got to go do what you wanted to do. You never had a day where you could go outside of the compound gates without chains or a man riding a horse with a gun aimed on you. You've never had a day where someone wasn't watching over your shoulder, ready to whip you if you got out of line. And that's the freedom you get to go into. It's freedom, but you haven't a clue how to go out and possess it. You haven't a clue how to go out and live in it. You haven't a clue how to move forward. You haven't a clue how to teach your children to live in the grace of the freedom of being delivered. And that's the beautiful thing. And then imagine a little bit, the beautiful thing goes on, that in the camp walks a deliverer, the one who has done all the background, has fought the wars, has went and done all the paperwork, has just convinced man to let you go. And he comes into camp and he says, I know this is strange for you. I know this is different. I know that life has not been easy, but take me by the hand. Let me take you and walk you through the next steps to get into your freedom. What a help that would be to you. What a help that would be to this family that has been locked up. For generations, their mind has been held captive as well. Their heart has been held captive. Their dreams and their hopes, not only for them, but for their children and their children's children. I mean, when you're in that type of situation, do you even want to have children? Because where's the dream? They're going to be like us. They're going to be told. They're going to be... And so when the deliverer comes and begins to take you by the hand and take you out and says, this is the way things are done properly. This is the time of day you can get up and go to bed this time, and that will be a successful day. That will be a very good day. This is the type what you'll have to do to survive, to plant food, to get a job, to move on. This is how you will act out in society. You will not have to look at the ground everywhere as you go. You can actually lift your head and look at things that are ahead of you. You can actually see what God is doing in your midst and the beauty of all these things. So I want you, as I speak today, to keep these things in mind, that your deliverer has come for you. And he wants to take you by the hand today, and he wants to walk you into the next chapter of your life. Some of you may not have a clue what that's to look like. You won't have a clue what that is to feel like. You won't know how you're supposed to even act. But trust me, your deliverer, if you continue to ask him, your deliverer, if you invite him in, wants to walk with you step by step. He wants to take the simplest thing, such as, how do I do this? How do I act? How do I interact with others? Can I look them in the eye? Can I shake their hand? Can I move amongst them and not be feared for my life? All of these things are on the hearts of those that were held captive. They knew nothing different. But the deliverer has come, and he's come to set men free. So we're going to go on a little further into the four cups. And the four cups, as Pastor Jeff has probably explained through the, is God's four promises. When Jesus was at the Last Supper with the disciples, they talked about four different cups. And so we go on to call them God's four promises, or God's four I wills. And they're very powerful. Do not lose this. If you're taking notes or in the notes you have, underline these things, because they're very powerful as we go through the scripture and read it. Exodus 6, 6 and 7, therefore say to the Israelites, and let me personalize, therefore God wants to say to you here at New Song this morning, yeah. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. New Song, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the sin that has beset you, the sin that has chained you, the sin that continues to dog you. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Wow, it's just something powerful when you slow down and you're not just reading these scriptures for read value. What can I own in this? What can I grab a hold of this? Our Creator says, I want to be your God. We don't have to go search for him. He's come to us. We don't have to burn our children. We don't have to slaughter our animals anymore in front of this. He says, I want to be your God, Burt Moore. And I'm going, nobody's ever wanted to do that for me, God. He says, I've always wanted to do that for you. I've always wanted to do that for each and every one of you sitting in this auditorium this morning, sitting around this city, sitting around this state, around this world. I want to be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of your sin, out of the yoke of the Egyptians, out of the yoke of your slavery. I've set you free. I've opened the gates. I've pulled the chains apart. I've dropped the shackles from your wrists. And now the Lord's going to continue to talk to you. There's only one place left that you're locked up, guys. It's within you. We got to be careful of that. We're free people. We're free men and women, boys and girls here in this auditorium this morning, but we're locked up yet within our heart and in our mind. We're going, yeah, but is a very, very interesting word. It's a small word, but has so much power. It can have so much negativity if it's put in the wrong place. It can also have good power with it too, but in this one, it is, the but is a very powerful word. And you get to control the but. You get to control that word. You get to pull that word out of there, because the scripture doesn't have a but in it for you. The scripture says, I will, I will, I will, I will. I want to be your God. I want to set you free. I want you to have life and life more abundantly, says the Lord. So the four cups, and these will be some places you can fill in your blanks. The cup of sanctification, we call that salvation. Salvation, the free gift. The one and only free gift you're going to get here this morning, because this is a gift that Jesus gave us. This is a gift that you had nothing to do except saying, you know what, I believe that. That's the only part you get to play in this. And there's a reason Jesus only let you play that part. That way, those of you who are performance-based, and there's a lot of us in the room, we're performance, we don't get to play the part that I had something to do with my salvation. God took that plane out of there. He says, I know you. You're my sons and daughters. You like to brag on yourself and your performance things. But he says, I'm pulling that card from you this morning. Because this ain't about being performance-based this morning. This is about a free gift. And you know what I know about the church? You guys really don't like free gifts. If I came up and offered you a new car this morning, I said, some lucky feller out there is going to get it, you would argue with me? Well, no, no, no. Give it to somebody who really needs it. No, 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 no. Until all those that have less than me have. And you play this game out here, so how much more do we do with what God has done in here? See, I hear what comes out of your mouth, and out of your mouth is what comes out of the innermost being of your heart. So you can't tell me you aren't wrestling with God and what he says on the way through, that salvation is free. The cup of deliverance, the one we're talking about this morning, is freedom. Braveheart. Man, when that dude warlords out that word freedom while he's laying there being filleted in front of everybody, the countryside shakes. This morning, as Jesus breaks the bands that hold you, the chains that have locked you down, opens the jail doors, he's yelling, freedom for my sons and daughters. Step up, walk out of this cage, and possess your freedom. Stop being held by your what-ifs and my buts and I don't know. The Lord says, walk out into the light and let me lead you. See, you have not because you quit asking. We are a religion of assumption at times. Jesus wants us to ask. Lord, I don't know how to do that. He says, I'll show you. All you got to do is ask. I mean, and it's awesome. I mean, I love the whole scripture, because when I'm up here talking to you and I go, I just said that word, and I'm going, well, I got three more things I could say behind that. But, Lord, I'll be here all day, so I got to keep on moving, staying on my thing here. The cup of redemption, which we call restoration, which you're going to hear more about in the coming weeks. And the cup of praise, which is fulfillment, contentment, the I'm fulfilled in life. Have you ever met somebody that's content? Man, are they pleasant people to be around? They're kind of, wow, let's go drink tea together on the day. Okay, let's do it. You know, let's hang out together. Let's talk together. Let's work together. Let's play together. Contentment's beautiful when you don't have all these fights. We talk about, you start, let's read this next one, the Egypt in me. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. This is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that have been done, so none of us can boast about it. That's what I talked about a little bit earlier. God wanted to take that out of our hands and say, this is a gift from Jesus. You accept it or you don't. He gives us that free will. He wishes that all would come to this knowledge, but not all men will. And then we go on to Philippians, and it says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desires and the powers to do what pleases him. So we go one moment, I say, hey, there's no performance in this. And then the next one, we go over to Philippians, and he says, work hard. See, now there's some performance going on. But the difference is we're working hard to show the gratitude and the beauty of our heart of our salvation that Jesus has given us. It ain't about we're earning anything. It's about I'm showing my gratitude to you for all the love you showed me, Lord. I'm showing my gratitude for you because I have freedom, and I see my brother and sister locked up, and I want to help them get free. So I'm giving you everything I've got here, Lord, to help them. Do you see the difference there? It ain't about we're gaining anything. These works aren't going on in a little black book in heaven for you. That you're gaining points. These works are fruit of the tree that you're actually becoming. Are you a mighty tree that is many things to many people? You're shade to some. You give fruit to some. You guard. You watch over. You're a place you can anchor onto. There's so many things a mighty tree can do. Are you that type of person? And you become that type of person by observing and seeing and looking around you and the works that are around you. Here also God in Philippians, he's showing, God's clearly communicating with you that he's working in you. See, if God, in that verse down there, he says, I give you the desires of your heart. Yeah, he's infilling you with power, and he's working in you. Is God not actually speaking to you at those points? See, I run into many a man and woman that go, how do you know God's speaking to you? Right there, the scripture just said, God's giving you the desires of your hearts. God's speaking to you. God's doing a good work in you. These things don't happen unless God is making contact with you, that God is actually speaking to the inner man and wanting you to move forward. God is a triune God. We got the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he's made us to be a triune man, body, soul, and spirit. And the Spirit of God is upon us and is clean the moment that we hit salvation. And when we grab our salvation and we have that freedom, it's a beautiful thing. Because right then and there, we have a clean slate before the Lord. And in that is where there's power. Excuse me a minute. So Romans 7:21. So I find the law at work. Although I want to do good, evil right here is there with me. For an inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at the work in me, waging war against the law in my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin and work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from the body and the subject of this death? Thanks be to God who delivers us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul was doing the wrestling that we, as so many men, do. We are in the law, we are of the law, and he's just doing the struggle of what to do in this. I lost my spot here, so give me just a second. Deliverance, down here, it begins to talk about being delivered in Romans 7, 21 and 25. Deliverance, this is where it all begins, is right here when he says, who will rescue me from the body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, in the deliverance, there's a couple things that go on there. We're going to talk about healing our wounds here, and it's now if sin is what I do to myself, the wounds are what others do to me. So it could have happened when we were children. It can happen to us as we were growing up. It can happen in relationships. It can happen in divorces in life. And it just gets messy. And so then we get to deal with these things. So we must be healing our wounds. And in Ephesians 6:10-12, it says, "And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil." If we don't let go of our past, if we don't let go of these things that have held us captive, there will be no future for us. There will be no place to go but to stay in our anger. And you know, as I was preparing, anger, we are an angry people. The United States, everywhere you go, somebody's angry about something. Whether we drive down the road, you're in a parking lot, and you happen to back too close to somebody, whether you've didn't even mean to, you've cut somebody off, and sometimes you don't even know why people are angry going around you. And so the Lord says, do not let that sun go down on that anger that is within you. So then in Romans here, the cup of deliverance. So now it says, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power that leads to death. So now let there be no condemnation. Let there be no shackle. Let there be no chain. Let there be nothing hold you. We are a people that are held by condemnation. We're held by the shame. We're held by the idea, what if someone could see within me and really see the wretched man that I am? And the Lord says, break that away, for there is no condemnation that I have upon you as long as you're in Jesus Christ. It's at that point that you find full freedom. For the Spirit has freed you from the power that leads to death. So as long as we hang on to this condemnation, as long as we hang on to the shame, deliverance can't come and take us into the next step, can't take us from deliverance into redemption, as we talked before, into that restoration. If we continue to hang on to these things, we stop our future right there. We cannot move forward. We cannot find freedom to move into the next things that the Lord has for us. And then Romans 8, 5, and 6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that are pleasing, that pleases the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So what are you dominated by today? What are the thoughts that dominate you? The sinful nature or life and peace? Romans talks very clearly here that the sinful nature will overtake you as you sit and continue to dwell. So whatever you put in, that's what's going to come out of the innermost being of you. So if you dwell on things that are sinful and that are not of God, then those are the things that will continue to erupt out. If you dwell upon the things that are right, wholesome, upright, those are the things that will come out, and that's living in the Spirit. See, just so if the body is a triune body, it's the body, soul, and spirit, and the Spirit is like the Son of God. It's the same image. Once we ask Jesus into our heart, we look just like him. So we pass test one. The next two are process, the body and soul. The body, you don't want to let have charge over everything in your life because the body wants to do what it wants to do when it wants to do it. The spirit, the soul, is not my first choice to run everything within my life. Because it's my will, it's the different thing. So I don't want it running wild and running my life. But if I give those all over to the spirit man, that's when things begin to gel. Because when the spirit man begins to gel and move and everything begins to happen, it begins to get strong. And when the spirit man begins to get strong, it takes over and it begins to show body and soul how to come in line. So it's a renewing of the mind, it's a renewing of the heart, it's a renewing of the man. And that's when you begin to walk out in the freedom that God has given you. That's when you begin to find the deliverance that God has granted you. That's when you begin to break all the old things that have beset you for so many years. God is calling us this morning to find that spirit man and whatever it takes to feed that spirit man. If it's putting the things of this world away, the Lord says, put them away, for it's better to save your soul than to please yourself at all costs. God's asking us to step up, and we got to continue feeding. And the Spirit is just a consuming machine. If you continue to feed it, it will continue to absorb. And the more you give it, it will actually in time override the body and the soul. And I know that's hard to get because the body's what we function with, it's what we deal with. Being led by the Spirit is something the church has not gotten fully comprehended through the years. We've kind of let that slide. Being led by the Spirit, Lord, I'm going to get up today. What would you have me do? What are the steps you would have me do? How would you have me worship you today? How would you have me cry out to you today? Where would you have me go? Who would you have me call? Who would you have me talk to? Lord, I want to go in my prayer closet. What are the things that you want to put on my heart? What are the desires? God says, I give you the desires of your heart. I give you the thoughts. Come and dine with me. And that's when you begin to override these things. Like I said, I've been walking this deliverance thing out for a long time. My past is a colorful past of much misery, much pain and those things. But the beauty I see in this is that God has come in, and I've had to ask, Lord, how do I walk through this? I've had to ask brothers, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do birthdays well. I don't know how to do thank yous well. I don't know how to do any of these things because those just weren't important when I grew up. And I know that sounds funny if they were to you, but in my realm, those were not important things. So that when you get around people that those things are important, you go, stop, wait a minute. I've got to take inventory. What is important in this setting? Lord, how do I nurture their hearts as well? There's so many things I continue to learn. When to go to the hospital for somebody, when not to. When to call and say, hey, how are things going, when not to. When to do this? When to, you know, I'm just awkward at those things. So I've got two things on my side. Number one, the Holy Spirit. Jesus was clear to the disciples. He says, boys, when I go away, I'm going to send you the Comforter who's closer to me. And he's going to speak to you. He's going to bring remembrance to all things. And the Scripture's going to come up. And he's going to be with you always teaching you. And boy, do I lean into that. Teach me how to do this because I don't know. Sit across the table with someone that's fighting through deep, deep things. I don't know what to do with that. Except go to the Holy Spirit. Teach me. Is this the time just to sit and listen? Is this the time to sit and cry with him? Is this the time to move and pray with him? Lord, teach me. And those are the things that, some of the things that the Lord wants us to continue to do. And then number three was relationship over the enemy. Guys, we need to learn how to fight, how to stand up, how to have authority over the enemy. Put on the full armor of God. Man, that is my banner verses. Those are the scriptures I grab a hold of. And then learn how to fight. Nothing good in this world has ever been won without a fight. Except for Jesus Christ and his salvation. That's the only time we don't have to fight. After that, you just will get those sandals of peace on. You best pick up that sword, whichever one you can pick, you know, the Machaira, which is the short one that's that close battle, or you get the big broadsword and you get to swinging, or you pick up the rake and get in the third row, because sooner or later there's going to be a lot of swords laying on the ground that you'll be able to pick up from somebody. Whatever you have, but it's time to get to battling. It's time to quit laying back and waiting for someone else to battle. It's time to step up and quit letting the enemy mow over the top of you, because God says it has to stop here. I drew the line in the sand when I went to the cross. Are you ready to go to battle with me? I'll show you how. I will give you the equipment. Better yet, I will lead you if you want me to go with you. Better yet, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who will show you all things how to battle in the coming days. And I'm going to give you scripture how to do it spiritually. But we take these things for granted. I know many men that leave their armor on the bedpost, on the nightstand as they walk out the door to go to work. I know many men when they go to bed at night, where the mind and the spirit are still active, they don't even bother putting on that helmet of salvation. They don't bother covering that heart. They've watched an action-packed show and played games right up to the time where they jump in bed, close their eyes, and go to bed, and they think things are going to go well for them. Instead of taking a few moments and hanging out with God and saying, God, these tools you gave me, show me how to use them tonight. Folks, I'm telling you, and I'm telling you because from experience, that has been my lifesaver. That has saved me many a night of waking up, and it's the difference between waking up and feeling like you've been defiled or waking up with freedom and seeing the Lord was with me through the night. The difference waking up and going, I'm filthy man, I can't get this filth off of me, because my mind goes places that I don't want it to go unless I put those rightful things in order. And so when I do that, I'm building my spirit man who is stronger, who is meaner, who is leaner than the body and the soul. I'm tired of being kicked around by the enemy. I'm tired of seeing my brothers and sisters kicked around by the enemy. And the Lord, that was never his plan for you. He wants to come in today and break these chains from you. So we get the authority over the enemy, and then the cup of deliverance. I think I rushed one there. Yeah, the cup of deliverance there. So now there's no condemnation. That condemnation we're talking about, no condemnation, those are the keys, guys. Let go of the condemnation, the shame. Those aren't even in Jesus' vocabulary for you. Here's a set of keys for you. Start unlocking these chains and walk out of this sin. Stop it. What happened in the past with that divorce, stop it. Here's the key. There's no condemnation and shame. You've asked forgiveness. I don't even know what you're talking about. But here's the keys. Unlock. How do you get back in that lock? The Lord's got to look at us amusing sometimes. Either that or with lots of tears. I mean, I can go either way. It depends on who the brother is or what the situation. But he's got to be confused. He goes, how'd you get back there? Here's the keys. Again, son. He's not mad. He's not frustrated with me. He just says, here's the keys. Unlock this and follow me. Because I want to take you to a whole new place. I want to take you down to Restoration Alley. And I want to get you restored. I want to get you back up on your feet. So if there's no condemnation from those who belong to Jesus Christ, and because you belong to him, the power of life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You're free. Say that. You're free. I'm free. Well, that was about as weak as it comes. Are you free? I'm free. You know why? Because the scripture says I'm free. I'm free because I accepted that free gift to salvation. And I don't have to wear the condemnation and the shame and the guilt of what I did in the past. And I know some of you think, I got an ugly past, Pastor Bird. You wouldn't have a clue what I... Yeah, I would. This mind of mine can get so... Ugh. But you know what? I'm free because Jesus has set me free. And then Romans 8, 5, and 6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Is there that much difference in the two? For the peace and the contentment in life, yes. But how come we lean to the dark? How come we lean to the sin instead of think on the things that bring life through the Spirit? What is it about us that wants to stay here? Is it the familiar? I know you don't like change. You don't like adventure. You don't like to step out beyond your comfort zone. Well, this morning, Jesus says, step out beyond that comfort zone. Come over to the light side. Come over and let me give you life and peace and everlasting. Because I'm telling you what, if you continue to hang here and be chained, you're never going to get free. You're going to get into heaven, but you're never going to have the life that Christ was asking you to have. You'll never have that perfect contentment of, I'm doing what I need to be doing, where I need to be doing it, with the people I need to be doing it with. And ain't that where you want to be? Or do you want to stay hung back here? It's time that you start thinking about this. See, I don't want you just to go home and say, that was okay, Pastor Bird. I could have done better. I mean, I don't want you to go home and say, hey, that was all right. I want you to go home and wrestle with, can I be free? Can I walk in the ways of the Spirit, and why not? Why can't I do those things that everybody else can do? See, God says you can, but the enemy has just bombarded you and made tracks and rings around your head that you think he can't. You think he has power to hold you. He really doesn't. God is up there, the enemy's down here, and when God says, let my people go. When Jesus says, hey, this blood that I poured out is for Burt Moore, let him go, enemy. You have no place. Do not touch him no more. Now the enemy comes. Yeah, he thinks he's sneaking, he comes. But you know what? The Holy Spirit, who knows all things at all times, lets me know he's coming down the road. He's coming this way. Be ready. Watch out. Be diligent. You're in war. Don't go to sleep, son, on the wall. Hold your post. There'll be plenty of time for sleeping later. Hold your post today. So then relationships are the key. Proverbs says, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. There's mercy at a coffee table. Number one, we've confessed when we've accepted Jesus Christ. Hey, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved by grace. But then But then when we go with this next step further, in James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Jesus says, I'm not healing you at that point. He says, here's another key for you this morning. Get across that coffee table and tell your brother that you trust with everything within you what's going on in your heart, your mind, your soul. And when you do that and he prays for you, then you will find healing. You will find I will move in a supernatural way and raise him up. The Lord is tired of sick, weak, chained people. He says, I want to bring healing to you. I want to bring prosperity to you. I want to bring the good things of life to you. If you continue to stay shackled, it's because you choose to stay shackled. The Lord doesn't want. Relationships are the key. You think as you hang. Carr talks about this quite a bit. Her dad and mom always sort of, birds of a feather flock together. You know, just that squawky. But turkeys hang with turkeys. Buzzards hang with buzzards. Chickens hang with chickens. Eagles hang with eagles. So people of God hang with people of God. And that's where you start getting stronger. When you're hanging around good people, now they're not going to be perfect, but when they're good, solid people and they continue to push in with you and do things with you and keep you occupied out of your old haunts and your old ways, and we push forward, that's when begin to get a step up. That's when you begin to find healing. That's when you begin to break the old patterns. And then we talk about the things. There's a couple things we do. After we're saved, after we've got the sanctification and we've been saved, then there's three things more we want to do. Water baptism. And what water baptism is, it's not going to save you, but it's a public declaration that I belong to a new association, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a public declaration that Jesus has asked us to do, because when you do these things, it's a symbolism. It's like what we did with the Lord's Supper this morning. Come and be baptized. Now, if you've been baptized as a child, those are great things. But as you've grown and you've fought the fight through, if it's time, hey, I need to be baptized again, I need to reseal this thing, I need to declare something new in my life today, step up and get baptized. Because you're going to find freedom, you're going to find healing in those waters. Church membership, family association. You know, a lot of people get hung up on church membership because I don't want to be tied down, I don't want to be a part of this. Doesn't have to be this body. We don't care where you go, but get in a church, lock in, and serve the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. That's the key. Church membership, some place that you can call home, some place that you can call association. I can go to any of my family's homes, and some of you are as close to me as any family I've ever had, and I can go there and knock on the door, and I says, I need shelter. And because I'm associated, I've got that. And when you're a part of a body like this, if any of you came to my door and said, I need, then you would have. You'd have everything I have. Small groups. That's how a big church gets small. That's how a church like this, we can't all get together in one room and hang out and have fellowship and understand, because you're all going to go off and talk about things that I don't even know about. You're going to talk about things that are way over my head. But then we get in the small groups of the different things that we're studying, the different interests, the different things going on. And that's where real community happens in the bigger church. That's when the prayer happens for one another. That's when you're connected to a small group, that's when you're not feeling out there all alone. That's when you're not feeling I'm out here and I'm drowning. No one seems to care. No one sees me. No one comes around. Well, pal, nobody knows that you even need this. Nobody. You gotta let people know. But in these small groups is where there's growth. It's where there's freedom. So this morning, with that in mind, Jesus' first question would be to you, and you can bow your heads, But deep within your heart, Jesus' first question is, sons, my daughters, have you accepted me as your salvation? Have you considered that I have come and given you the free gift of salvation to you this morning? Consider this seriously this morning, because this is the step one of total freedom for your life. So consider it. Have you this morning, if Jesus came, and he's asking you right now whether you hear him or not. Yes, he does speak to you. And he's asking you, will you come and be my sons and daughters? Do you truly believe that I am who I say I am? And it's simple in your heart, by the uplift raising of a hand, if you'd like, as a declaration, Lord, I ask you into my heart and my soul this morning. Would you come and be my Lord? So if you want to do that this morning, the Lord sees those things. And so Lord, we just thank you for that free gift of salvation this morning. We thank you, O Lord, that with that, Lord, you not only want us to have that freedom of salvation, but you also want us to have freedom, Lord, of the things that would hold and bind us in the spot. Because the plans that you have made for me, for us, each one in this room, Lord, are great. They're mighty. They're going to be world changers, and they're going to save people. They're going to energize people as they begin to release these gifts, Lord, when they're free. And Lord, because of that, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you'd come and speak to each and every heart. That something that was said today, dear Father, would come down and they would wrestle with this today. They would accept this today. They would move upon this today, dear God. And Lord, we thank you for that freedom today in your holy name. Pastor Jeff, I'm going to turn this over.
You thank